a family man, yeah. Welcome to the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. This is the show where we remind dads of what's most important. I'm your host, Scott Moore. Thanks for joining us today. Hey, dads, today is a special edition of the Family Man Show. This is part two of the episode we recorded at the Family Man Rally live with the dads participating who were there at the rally. So, without further ado, here's part two.
I have another question.
My wife and I have half the children of you, so I feel you're qualified.
There's no race.
But they're each unique. How do you meet the needs of each of them, give them their own time? We find that very difficult.
That is very difficult. The more kids you have, I know the Murphys have 10. Do you have 10? 9. Seems like 10. And some of you, Nathan, you have 8, right? You have, where are you? You were here just a little while ago. Who else has 8? You have 8. Somebody else had 8. Well, maybe I just saw him in the bathroom and he never made it down here. He has 8. Let's go get that guy. You know, here's the thing. I think, and anybody else can respond. I mean, because if you just have a few children, I know someday, I have a great friend who every Saturday morning, he takes a different kid out to breakfast, you know, and they have a kind of a father-daughter, father-son, you know, Saturday morning breakfast date. It always makes me feel guilty because I just don't have that time with my kids. You know, here, in my family, if you're part of the family, that's the unit where we really worry about, we work on. So I don't feel the huge need to have to do something special all the time with individual children, because later on, I want them to know they're part of a family in their family. You know, that they don't have to have that special time just with the guy, and you know, their guy friends. So, you know, I still try sometimes. You know, when we run out to the store, if one of the kids will go with me, that's about all we get. And maybe we'll get special candy when we're at Menards, because they have the dollar bags right there, you know? Or I have one son who's now starting to driver's ed, and he likes to drive, and he likes to get a McDonald's big drink. So we stop and get a McDonald's big drink. But I know maybe some of you dads are probably better at it than me, but I want my kids to know that the family is the unit, you know? And so we work real hard at just being a good family. So I don't know if anybody else have an answer for them or something you do.
One thing that we've kind of been big on is that we really, if you think about it, we live in a society where the individual is idolized, and everybody's individual needs and everybody's individual me times. And to me, family is one of the ways to counter that without, again, going too far over the edge. And for us, we've just really, you know, part of it, because we've been a big family, we've been forced to not, because we can't go to every soccer game and every, you know, individual thing. And so it's just how it's turned out, but it's been a tremendous blessing. And I'd like to think my kids still feel like individuals, but the team thing is big.
And I've been watching his kids. None of them twitch or anything or do anything. So they seem normal. But I there's a lot of guilt kind of sometimes placed on us that we have to do that. And I still think it's a good idea. I mean, I was able to go in a plane flight with my son Cal about 3 weeks ago or 4 weeks ago. We went to Alabama, and he'd never been on an airplane that he remembered. It was awesome. He thought it was great. He was recounting it, and he said, on the first morning we went out, he said, I had donuts for breakfast, I had Cinnamelts, and I had Mike and Ike's, and I had a Diet Coke, all before 8 o'clock in the morning. And he thought that was late. He goes, I can't wait to tell everybody when I get home. So that's pretty cool. What?
Just don't tell
your mom. that's right.
But don't you think, Todd, that the problem with that is we've let the world define individuality to a huge degree, and the body of Christ is supposed to be a group of people. So it's not just about the one individual person, and you'll get opportunities. We only have 7. Some of you all have a lot more, but you'll get opportunities to spend time with individual kids at certain times or your wives at certain times. But if the family unit becomes the main unit, then we can counter that definition that the world has put on the guilt that we get, and that comes from the Facebook. Everything around us comes right back to, it's all about the individual person.
I totally agree. And we really have let the world define most of what we do. You know, and in fact, really, the church has kind of taken up that call too, and they've just kind of said those things that the world has been saying. Were you going to say something over here?
It's amazing how their perspective needs to be shaped too, because, you know, yesterday when we were melting down, our tents were falling apart and all that, and we were trying to figure out if we were going to stay, and my son Will, who's just turned 11, he's just losing it. He's the one who had a great attitude the whole time and was, you know, doing well until we start talking about maybe going home. And then he's like, we never do anything together as a family. And I mean, I'm like, what are you talking about? We homeschool. We're together all the time. And I'm like, what? I try to spend time with each of them individually, and it's just like, sometimes their perspective is just totally deceived or just out the window, you know? We try. But even when you try the best you can, it's not always going to be communicated the way you want it to, you know?
Exactly. We'll go to Disney World and we'll spend there for like a week, and we get home and they're like, you never do anything with me. I'm like, what? You know? So, have another question or another discussion.
Well, let's start with, when you look in the dictionary for workaholic, I'm there. You know, I grew up 11 years old, stepdad at a gas station. I'd go out at 5:30 in the morning, work till the school bus came, come home in the afternoon, work. My dad had a salvage yard and a gas station. I worked 7 days a week when I lived with him. How do you build a work ethic, Dan? Because I come up here and your kids are just on it. I know I don't see behind the scenes, but you know, we homeschool too. My kids wouldn't make it in real school because they'd have to get out of bed before 8:30, 9 o'clock. And the wife too, let's not leave her out.
We'll cut that part out.
No, she won't.
No, leave it in there.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But when I come home at 60, 80, 90, 100 hours a week, if I'm out doing something on a weekend in the yard, cutting firewood, which to me is just enjoyable, to get the kids to come out there when, oh, they need to watch this because it's educational. They need to build a work ethic. How do you struggle with overcoming the wife in an area like that?
We kind of went down one direction, then we switched there at the end.
Okay.
And I would also just add to what he said, how do you build a work ethic in your kids without making them feel like work is the only thing that's important? Because that's what my dad and my grandfather built into me. And now I'm struggling with, how do I disassociate myself from work and spend more time with my family?
Were you going to say something too?
Oh, it just reminded me of the original burden we were given of toiling in the field, overdoing it, simply as all men can. Yeah, to your point, like teach them the work ethic that it is they need to be able to survive and become disciplined followers of God, but not enforce the burden that we've been given, such that it becomes above everything else.
Yeah. Those are all great questions, and well, how about I'll need some help on this? But I know my dad made his boys work. I don't know what he did with my sister, but he may have made her work. But I remember, I mean, we always had to work. I mean, we didn't have summers where we just hung out all the time. I mean, we always had a pile of dirt that had to be, you know, we'd have this hump on our yard and he'd go, this year we're gonna take that hump off, you know? And we didn't work all day, but every day we'd spend an hour or 2 hours digging the hump off, you know? And filling in the hole, or we were always working in his little print shop. So I think sometimes we dads, we've kind of dropped the ball on some of that. You know, that I know some great dads who are awesome dads, but they don't involve their kids in any of their projects because it's hard. And it is a lot harder to involve them in the projects. It's easier to just say, I'll do it myself, you know, or because my kids like to be involved, especially at a young age. And sometimes we keep pushing them away until they don't come back to work anymore. But I think it's important to do that. I don't know how you overcome your wife except saying, you know, this son is going to have to support a wife one day, and we're going to give his wife do her a disservice if he's not prepared to work. And my oldest son Ben, he had a part-time job he had two part-time jobs, but one led to a full-time job, but he was at an AT&T store, and he had only been there for a couple weeks, and he told me, he goes, Dad, I think they're going to let me go because there's not enough work there, and the other guy's been there 10 years, and no kidding, like the next day, the guy calls him, and he says, I'd like to make you the manager of the store, and we're getting rid of the guy who's been there for 10 years. And then he goes to this other part-time job at Staples, and you know they promote you to the president of the company within like a week and a half or whatever. And he's like, Dad, and then this is like this a new thought to him. He's like, all you have to do is show up for work, and they like promote you to the top. And because it's so rare. And he was even involved kind of in, not the hiring, but in seeing people who were coming in, and he would talk to the manager and he'd say, why would you hire these people? They are terrible. And she goes, these are the good ones. You know, you should see the ones we turn down. You know, so I think we do need to teach our sons. Now, about the other part. Oh, go ahead.
Could I say something?
Yeah, sure.
Because I think it is just having a family because my son's a little bit older now, and they love him at work. And just having that family and having that basic understanding of who they are as boys, you'd be surprised how rare that is in the work field. And most of the children here will be able to get a great job just because of that.
Right, right. I mean, I think you could rise to the top just by being honest, just by showing up when they say to be there at 8 o'clock and leaving. I mean, my daughter's in haircutting school, and she said they're all dishonest. You know, they all just make up stuff. They don't show up. She's the only one who shows up on time ever, you know, and that goes a long, long way. And they learn that from us, you know. Go ahead.
I think one of the things for our family was, in order to get our kids to understand what work ethic is by me spending time with them doing other things, fun things, it made them want to be with me, so that when I switched over to cutting and splitting wood, them kids, now, if I go outside and start doing that without them, my 13-year-old daughter is mad for like hours. Why did you go out? Why didn't you get me up? So I help run this football league, Upward Sports. I don't know if you ever heard of it. So I go to our church at 6:30 in the morning. We leave our house. I have to be there at 7:30. My 13-year-old daughter and my 10-year-old son come with me for all day Saturdays. It's like if I would ever leave the house without them, they freak out. So I think for me, that was the hardest part, you know, trying to understand how do I get them to, and how do I instill a work ethic in them? Because my dad did what his dad did. There's a pile of wood out there, and before you do anything, it's going to be gone. So it was understanding and figuring it out through a whole lot of pain on my part, of spending, doing things with them that were fun, you know, and then all of a sudden, they're like behind, they're like little puppy dogs, like wherever I go, they go, and sometimes I'm like, hey, I'm gonna go to the bathroom, is that okay if I go by myself, you know? It's an awesome feeling, it really is. Once that transition took place, my kids don't, I can't go, I choose not to go anywhere without them now. So it's been a great, transition. Now, I used to work like that, 80, 90 hours a week, and you know, I came home one day and my wife asked me, we got kids now. What are you doing? We ain't got no money, so we know I didn't marry you for money. What are we doing? And, you know, it took me a little while, a light bulb went off, and I went, you know what? That's right, because these boys, they've been entrusted to me, and it's my job. I can't let a neighbor, their friend, who I don't want, raising them. So it's been an excellent process. It's fun, it's painful, it's joyful, and I go back to hearing what I hear over here, you know, our culture tells us about this whole individuality thing, you know, we want to be superstars, you know, athletes or whatever. That's such a falsehood, and it's such a disservice to our kids. And the beauty is that as us men sit here, we know that, and we realize that, and if there was enough men like us that realized that, this country would be totally different, so... I know sometimes I always think about, we go to church, we send our kids to these daycares, basically. We quit doing that because we worship as a family now, you know. From 3 to 13, we go to church together. We homeschool our kids. They're not in daycare. What are we doing? So I just know it's an awesome transition, but it's difficult.
Paul?
There is a difference between teaching our children a work ethic and teaching them to work all the time. And I think that when God created the earth, he left us as part of the legacy a Sabbath rest. And that's an important part of the training as well. So it is good to give our children work and expect them to work hard and to do a good job and then to be done and go on to other things. Just working, particularly working for a paycheck, that's of limited value. And working to make the yard beautiful, that's of significantly less value. Although I look at that, and I'm one of these people who's obsessed to keep my place looking good. It's part of the reason why my wife and I moved into a condo last year is because the yard was just consuming me. And I needed to be able to free that time up for things that do matter.
Those are both awesome. And Larry, just that it's the relationship. You're just talking about the relationship, whether it's working or playing. And I do sometimes think sometimes we dads don't do anything except work. I don't know if you had a dad that did this, but there were times I resented being the guy who always had to go get the screwdriver. Can you go get the screwdriver? And yet sometimes I find myself doing the same thing. Go get the whatever. And I think Paul's comment is a perfect comment, about not teaching them to work all the time. One of the pastors I work for, he felt like he was lazy if he wasn't working all the time because that's what his dad told him. Why are you sitting there? And I just think, if we're workaholics, our kids are going to be workaholics. Our wives might be able to tolerate, their wives may not be able to, and their kids need us. Or their kids need them. Their kids need your kids now, their future kids will need them to be good dads. And we have to teach them how to say no. My dad was good at that. My dad used to say, hey, it's time to stop. Even when I was doing school and I'd be working on a paper and I'd say, yeah, but I got to get this paper done. He'd say, it's time to be a part of the family now. And I had to stop. I think that's what dads do. We make our kids go to camping trips. We make our kids go do things that they don't want to do. And we make them stop. And by our example, Dan.
I'd like to make one comment because Chuck, you said, Dan, your kid's got this all figured out. And all of you said a lot of different things that I think, especially with my wife, we butt heads because I'll sit back and I'll get all seven kids doing something here and we have to pick our battles because there's some things it'd be a lot easier if I just do it. But then when I send them off and they do it, they may not have done it the way I did, but it's done. So does it matter? I think the world has defined, at least in my mind, what school should look like, what kind of grades we should get, even homeschooling. Now we need to be better than the ones who go to public school because they're not smart. And we put such a strong emphasis on that now we sit back and whether it's our lawns have to look good or our houses have to look good, it's become a, am I better than the Joneses? And so here at the campground, and let me tell you, Cindy and I struggle just like you all do. I sit here and listen to you all, and the problem is Cindy's listening to what other moms are saying, and that is, I don't homeschool well, I'm not a good wife, I'm not this. And I sit back, and I'm kind of like you, Todd. I'm like, well, what's the big deal? I think you're doing great. Well, sure you would, because if my kids aren't smart, it's gonna be my fault. Well, why are my kids not smart? Because they may not get the greatest grades? Well, I was in public school. Slid by with the skin of my teeth to get through school and ended up with a great job. And now we're here. I said, as long as they can read, write, and add and subtract, they can teach themselves anything. But when I sit here, if I pick my battles right and watch the kids at the campground, they will do things, and it may not have been the way I wanted, but it's done. And I quite honestly think they learn more from what they do with all of us here at the campground or whatever job we have, whether it's splitting wood or doing chores at home, than they ever will going to school. Because one day they're going to be on their own and they have to do all those things, but that work ethic just comes because they learn they have to do it. And what I see is my wife beats herself up because she's looking at Facebook and doing all these things and she's got this world saying, I'm a failure because this is this. And one of the kids will say something or do something, and maybe they didn't do it right or they didn't do what we asked them to do, but they're still kids. And I struggle with it at times too, but I really think our problem is we've let everything around us define that, and then now we're always in this battle. And so, Chuck, you were talking about, what do you do with your wives? It's always a battle, and I wish it wasn't, but it comes back to that, because I sit back, and maybe I'm a little too casual at times, and I'm sure I am, but I think there's gotta be a balance in there. You can't let it go too much, but you can't get over worried about it either, because I always say, if the good Lord has them, if they find out what the Lord wants in their lives, then no matter what they do, they're right where he needs them. And it doesn't matter what we say or do, as long as we bring them up to look for that, they're gonna be on the right track. And it sounds great, but it's hard. Even being here, sometimes it's easier, believe me, I would step back into corporate America, it's easier to go to work and then come home and say, all right, Cindy, what'd you get done? Because now I don't have that responsibility on my shoulders, but it's hard. And that's Satan. That's a battle that I think just listening to y'all, that's what we all face, and it's hard to get around that.
It is. It's continual. How about one more question or another direction, and then we'll bring it to a close.
I have kind of a different perspective, because I actually stayed home with my kids. Wow. And my wife went to work. And I taught my kids, I always call it the poker mentality. You know,
spoken like a true father.
If anybody, yeah, and if anybody plays poker, you know, if you, especially Texas Hold'em, you know, if you put all your chips in and you move all in and you've got the best hand at the time, that's the best decision you can make. You commit to it, you stick with it. You know, the other guy might get a better card at the end and you might lose. You know, you may not, but if you can look back and say, with all the information that I had at the point I had to make the decision, I made the best decision, then you can sleep good at night. It may not have worked out, it may have worked out, you never know, but you know, always be able to look back and say, I took all the information I could gather and made the absolute best decision that I could make at that time.
Amen, amen. So you gotta know when to hold them, know when to fold them. I got Drew sing that or something. But that is exactly right. You know, because I think that's where we husbands, I think, maybe don't feel like our wives. I mean, our wives are continually feeling like failures. And we're kind of like, I've seen worse. You know, but this whole parenting thing, this whole husbanding thing is by faith, you know, and it is part of the journey. And it is, you know, I'll be somewhere different tomorrow than I am today. And part of God getting me where he needs me to be and where he needs my kids to be where they're going to be is part of this struggle. And we're all in the struggle. And that's why I love this. I love Family Man stuff, because we are in the same boat. I remember when I was kind of first starting and I was talking to a publisher and he said, Todd, who's your target audience? And I'm like, just a normal dad. And he goes, so you mean like the dad who's out there working in the... And I'm like, no, the normal dad. And he's like, so you mean like the dad who's out there in the fields? And I'm like, no, the normal dad. And he's like, well, who are you talking about? I'm like you, like everybody, because we're all normal dads. It doesn't matter if we're executives or whatever we are. It is all hard. Sometimes if you have a little more money you can paint over some of that stuff, but it all is hard underneath. But it is worth it. And that's why I do, you know, your first question. That's why I do what I do. You know, because I saw dads like us who exchange this for something else. Because this is hard. That stuff out there, I mean, ministry, it's a piece of cake compared to being a family guy. You know, being a worship leader, piece of cake compared to this. You know, being a business guy, piece of cake. I mean, it's easy to go into a business and take care of things. And, you know, they reward you with, good job, that was wonderful, you know. Here's a cup of coffee, you know. And your kids, you give them everything and they go, is that all you got? You know. You don't even love me. You know, and your wife says the same thing. And, you know, it's just hard. But what I saw was guys like us exchanging diamonds for stones, you know, and that's why we started. And when we started reminding dads of what's most important, my wife's like, what do you mean, what's most important? I mean, you need to define that. And I'm like, why? I know what it is. You know, everybody else seems to know what it is too. Why do I need to define it? Because this is what matters. And I want to get to the end. I'll tell you, you know, again, your initial question. I would watch lots of PBS documentaries. I don't see them anymore, but I used to. And I'm just fascinated by people who are good at what they do. And whether it's Steve Jobs or Weird Al Yankovic, or it doesn't matter. Billy Graham, Henry Ford, you can pick every famous name. And they would go through the documentary, and they'd always get to the end, and they would be interviewing the person, or if the person was still alive, and they would say, it didn't matter who they were, they'd always say at the end, well, you know, if I had to do it over again, I'd probably spend more time with my family. Or they'd say, you know, I just wasn't a very good dad. And I'm thinking, you know, I don't want to get to the end and say the same thing. If I'm not very good as the family man, I'm okay with that. You know, if I don't sell as many books, I'm okay with that. Nobody ever reads them, I'm okay with that. But I want my kids to say, you know, I love my dad and my dad loved me. You know, my husband loved me so much. That's the hardest, but that's what I want. Well, guys, we're gonna bring this show to an end. Thanks for joining us. We're looking forward to a good day, and we'll talk a little bit more about that in a second. But as I say at the end of every show, to all of you, you to dad.
And that's our show for this week, dads. Thanks for joining us for the Family Man Show with Todd Wilson. I hope you enjoyed this special edition of the Family Man Show live from the Family Man Rally in Newcastle, Indiana. If you didn't hear the first part, go back and listen to that. It was great. And thanks for joining us, dads. If you have a question for Todd, you can reach him at familyman@familymanweb.com. If you have a question for me, you can reach me at scott@unsocializedmedia.com. Thanks for joining us, dads. Have a great week.
So you say you're the family man.